Welcome to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community Radio Show. I'm Julie Ellenbecker, president of Ellenbecker Investment Group. EIG is committed to bringing awareness to organizations in our community. This show highlights local and surrounding area nonprofits to help listeners learn how they can have an impact in our community and is for educational purposes only. We believe that helping the community is always positive and recognize the importance of providing a voice. Every organization highlighted is a qualified 501c3. The opinions and missions expressed on MPC do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Ellenbecker Investment Group employees and leaders. Please enjoy today's show.
Welcome. This is EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community. Our goal for the show is to inform and inspire our listeners by highlighting people and organizations who are doing great things and making a big impact in our community, with the hope that it will impact people in such a way that they'll want to find a way to make a difference themselves. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations at Ellenbecker Investment Group, and I welcome you to the show today. MPC, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, usually features two nonprofit guests per show, and we give them an opportunity, a platform to share with our audience all the great things they do to make a difference in the community. Sometimes we choose to highlight and bring awareness to resources available to nonprofits. The guest may not be a nonprofit themselves, but they serve nonprofits in meaningful and impactful ways. Today is one of those times when we bring a nonprofit together with an organization that serves that nonprofit and others. My first guest today is Samantha Maldonado, strategy consultant from Spectrum Nonprofit Services, whose mission is to provide flexible strategies to begin implementing changes today that will positively impact the future of the nonprofits they serve. Welcome to the show today, Samantha.
Thank you so much for having me, Jill. It's a pleasure, and thank you for EIG and the opportunity.
You are certainly welcome. Well, obviously, we work a lot with nonprofits, but every now and again, as I said, we sprinkle in organizations that work with nonprofits, and so we're excited to learn how Spectrum does that. Why don't you start by telling us exactly how Spectrum does that and why you focus on nonprofits?
Definitely. Thank you. So I'll start with why we focus on nonprofits. We focus on nonprofits because we really understand and value the importance that nonprofits play in and for our communities. They really are the backbone. And so we want to partner with them really to enable them to be adaptive to the changing needs of our communities and to remain sustainable. So really working with them to focus on bolstering the collective effort and impact that they have, the capacity, capabilities that they have, so that we really are helping and partnering with them to fortify and enrich their ability to connect our lives.
Okay. And so do you serve or focus any specific area in the nonprofit sector?
Sure. So we do work and partner with nonprofits locally and nationally from a small to medium-sized organization.
Okay. Now, tell us if you have a business model that you use when you partner with them.
Yes, definitely. So our organizational model is really focused on demonstrating and acknowledging the interconnectedness of people, revenue, and impact. So it's really important and essential to understand the relationship about cross-functional conversations. So I always like to say you could have a beautiful revenue strategy, but if you don't have the people aligned or prepared or know how to execute the revenue strategy, you're not going anywhere. You could have a beautiful direction of impact of who we're serving and why it's important. But if you don't have the revenue or the people aligned, again, you're not moving anywhere. So it's really important to really understand and acknowledge and support the interrelationships between those three areas.
Okay. Well, how do you differentiate yourselves then? I mean, what would you say is your secret sauce?
So while we collaborate with nonprofit leaders and their boards to build capacity and navigate those challenges and meet those community needs, we really, while we have one point person that may work with that partner, we do also have our whole team supporting that effort. So it's really working with those key leaders of those organizations, their board, their staff, through a task force approach, if you will. to really dig deeper to articulate what is your impact? What is it you're trying to accomplish? For whom? How are you going to hold yourselves accountable? What does success look like? Then also looking at analyzing their business model in a graphical depiction. So what does it really look like as your business model, current state, to the relationship again between your mission specific activities and programs and your funding activities? And what does that look like? And so when you can see that visually, that helps sometimes to reaffirm what the organization is really going through, how you are allocating resources. And it's important to allocate resources towards impact and not just towards programs, right? A lot of times it's like, we'll just fund a program, we'll fund a program, but it's not necessarily aligned to the impact you're trying to achieve and sustain. And so in working with our partners and our nonprofit clients, it really is, how do we define impact? What is that strategy and who needs to be at the table, if you will, to really achieve that? And then once we have that clear, then how do we look at our business model, analyze that? What is this telling us? How do we define the future state of our organization? What does that look like? How do we adjust resources? How do we align and support our people to that work, right? And so what's all of that cumulatively working together to then further define, okay, what are these priorities then that are going to get us to that future state that we define for ourselves? What is the revenue and the strategy and the streams we need to tap into? And what does that revenue mix really look like? So we can really create more of that long-term runway of sustainability to be adaptive to any market forces that may change. And we recognize market forces change daily. and so really the organizational model and our approach to adaptive strategy really is working with clients to allow them and support them to be agile and to be adaptive into the ever-changing forces and to feel more into that sense of agency in that work.
Very nice. I like that impact piece because, again, if you don't understand how your work is impacting people, organizations, doesn't matter how many programs you have.
Agreed. Right? And you want to make sure that you have alignment between your stakeholders within your organization, right? Are you serving youth? Are you serving adults? Are you serving, you know, a certain age range? Is it a certain area of territory? So it creates more of that alignment and that beacon, if you will. I like to say that it's like a mission statement plus one in a way, right? It builds on your mission statement and provides that sense of unification amongst the stakeholders within your organization. So we know who, why, and for what we're working on.
Very nice. Well, what's your opinion on what nonprofits need to do to thrive versus survive in this ever-changing environment?
Great question. It's an ever-changing landscape, as we know. So the challenge really is that traditional strategic plans aren't really working anymore. So nonprofits need to be adaptive and think those strategies that'll help them really to pivot quickly while maintaining core to mission, right? So this means understanding their true business model, telling their impact story effectively, and building those organizational resilience and capacity efforts and skill building, right? So our strategic process really helps our partners approach decision making confidently and collaboratively, like I mentioned, as we are going through uncertain times. And so it's providing that sense of connection and coaching in a way to work with our partners to provide that deeper understanding of their business model, the beneficiaries, who they're serving, those true costs of delivering those programs. So it's not just the financial outlay, but the time it takes to put that forward, the talent is required to support that. So you have clarity and are focused on those priorities to achieve impact. So it's really essential to have those conversations and how resources should and could be reallocated to strengthen that organization. And to understand how key stakeholders really play a role in driving the organization forward, meaning volunteers, board, staff, community partners, donors, all of the above. So it's really digging in to understand the relationship and making the time, because a lot of times we work on the business, we don't have time to work in it. And so it's really making the time while we have competing priorities. Sometimes a short-term pain can really pay off to long-term gain in regarding to positioning your people, clarifying your revenue mix and strategy, and really define that impact. You can really work beautifully together in harmony to a degree, not to sound, you know, Pollyanna, but it really, once you have that, your arms around that, it helps really provide a direction of, okay, now we know what we're trying to do. Now we know the strategies we're trying to work on. And now it's up to us about what are those tactics in a phased approach to start moving forward on some of that work.
Okay, well, let's talk strategy. You know, what does that look like for nonprofits in our current environment? We're actually going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll talk about that after we return. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Julie Conimo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back. I'm your host, Jill Economo, and I'm talking again in our next segment with Samantha Maldonado from Spectrum Nonprofit Services. So, Samantha, tell us the strategy and what that looks like for nonprofits in our current environment.
Yes, thank you. So as I mentioned a little bit before, within Spectrum, we work through what is called like an adaptive strategy approach. So in other words, it really is like flexible planning that allows our clients to adjust as conditions change. So really having some foundational understanding and knowing really how I like to say is your how your house is in order to know how to flex and adapt based on, you know, market forces changing like labor, funding, politics, all of that. So we really meet our clients where they are and partner based on need. So not everyone may need a revenue strategy. Not everyone may need to define impact or what have you, right? Some may need all of it. Mm-hmm. So we really work with our clients and their teams to build that roadmap that provides a direction on how to sustain their organization. So as I mentioned, we collaborate to help them define intended impact, what their beacon is, who and for what are they accountable. So with this, like further identification of organizational priorities and key strategies, we then work with them to identify a phased implementation approach. So it's not year one, do X, Y, Z, year two, do X, Y, Z. It really is a phase over the next 3 to 5 years. So then you could have different priorities working asynchronously, you know, at one point. So you could have stuff for, let's say, organizational capacity as a priority. And here are some of the things we're working on in phase one. Another priority could be strengthening stakeholder relationships, as an example. And we're already working on stuff from phase two at the same time, you know, synchronously. So it really provides flexibility, but then you can do an annual review as a group, as a team to say, how are we tracking? How is this working? What do we need to adjust or shift? So that provides you that flexibility and that adaptability so that you have that plan, you have that roadmap, but you still are in a point of a position of agency to determine based on capacity, based on funding, based on capabilities, how do we need to continue with this plan or adjust accordingly?
So existing clients do come back to review their progress,
yes,
and update their strategies.
Yes. Actually, we have a few clients that we've worked with multiple times over the course of many years saying we've worked with them, let's say, 10 years ago, and we had a plan in action and things change or priorities adjust. And so they come back and we adjust their strategy accordingly so that, yeah, we've had many clients. A lot of our clients actually are return clients and are words of referral, actually, on behalf of us to say that we've done really great work. We love our experience. The outcomes and the deliverables have been really useful for us. And so a lot of times we actually get a lot of referrals through our existing clients.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, give us some examples. You know, we love to hear some success stories. Mm-hmm. Give us an idea of successful engagement for you.
Yeah. Thanks for asking. One of the clients I can think of is local, and they've been in a build mode for the last few years, right? So we have an idea, we have this energy, we have this passion, we see the need and purpose. We just have to build, 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 make it work. So they had staff, they have a board, they have volunteers, but a lot of communication regarding that interconnectedness wasn't happening. Mm. And so really bringing that task force together, like I mentioned, which is a blend of board and staff, to say, this is where our executive director is spending their time. How are we really positioning our board to act as ambassadors and really lean into their role as extensions of the organization in regards to relationship building, funding opportunities? How are we thinking about the relationship building of our executive director and where they're spending their time and positioning staff? And so it really then starts to unpack and unlock what those key opportunities are and create more of that holistic and connected conversation. And so with that, we're able, again, to define some of those priorities, understand those strategies that'll help drive forward and address some of those key issues of, like, where are we getting our volunteers from? How are we retaining them? What does the persistence look like? How are we thinking about our revenue being more relationship and impact focused versus transactional, right? A lot of times, like, where's the money? Where's the money? And it's just more reactionary and could be exhaustive of both time, talent, and, you know, treasure. And how do we really focus on relationship and impact-focused revenue sourcing and strategy so that you can say no at times? It's aligned to your mission. You're not just chasing money, but you're more intentional and more stabilizing, really, your efforts in that regard. And so that's some of the work that we've been doing with some clients as well.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, we talk a lot about volunteering mm-hmm. on the show, and that's why a lot of people listen, because mm-hmm. they have a particular interest in a specific area and they want to find out, you know, what nonprofits are out there that mm-hmm. that I could connect with. So why do you think volunteering for nonprofit organizations brings value and is so important, not only to the organization, but also to the individual serving?
Yes. Oh, great question. I mean, just as a lifelong volunteer, I can just attest to my own personal experience. But in this position, in this role, I can just see, based on conversations that I've had with clients and partners, that volunteering many times is an essential part of an organization's ability to deliver on their mission and intended impact, right? It's important to recognize the countless individuals who give their time, talent, and heart, really, to make our communities that much stronger. They are of the community, in the community. They can provide that perspective. They can lend their unique expertise or technical abilities on behalf of the organization at low or little cost. And so nonprofit organizations can use their story of volunteer contributions to really strengthen their case for support, really inspire community sentiment, and invest further in volunteer engagement infrastructure. So as a case in point, per a recent statistic I looked into, it's estimated that the value of each volunteer hour is $35. So think about that. So imagine how many hours this equates to for an organization to provide services to the community that they don't have to necessarily, quote unquote, pay for, but is an asset on behalf of the organization, right? So volunteers also provide a means to reduce those operational costs. They have the ability to enhance the quality of services offered, expand reach, are acting as a voice of the community, and can really build capacity through those diverse skills, perspectives, and abilities.
Well, we know that it's no secret that nonprofits have challenges mm-hmm. in their everyday work. What do you see as maybe some consistent challenges mm-hmm. that your clients face?
Yes, thank you. So I had touched a little bit on it earlier, but really the biggest challenge is the persistent struggle to have clarity on the impact that that nonprofit is working to achieve while building a sustainable revenue strategy and making the necessary space and time to invest in your people. So in other words, it's really balancing immediate, quote unquote, survival needs with long-term sustainability of that organization when you feel that your resources already are stretched thin. Right. There's only so much time in the day, so much revenue coming in, revenue being pulled per se. How do you maintain and retain your talent while still trying to drive and deliver programming for your community? So it's this constant and consistent struggle of what priority takes precedence that day mm-hmm. while you still have to make space to really invest in your people as foundational to deliver and execute on your program so they can then, you know, secure the revenue and act on behalf of the organization so you can ultimately drive impact. So it's not mutually exclusive one or not, but they all have to work in concert together.
And I like what you said about, you know, what's on the table today,
mm-hmm.
because it can change tomorrow.
Correct.
And it's different
yes.
from the day before.
Exactly.
You know? And it'll be different next week.
Exactly.
So yeah, it's that constant ability to shift and mm-hmm. And address the consistent challenges, right?
Yeah.
What would you say is one of the most important things, or some of the most important things that you've learned working with the nonprofit clients and leaders that you do?
Yes, thank you. And again, there's a lot of common themes that I think that I've mentioned already, but nonprofit organizations are not just for the community. They really are of the community. They are the backbone of our communities. They benefit from the time, space, and place to really address what is needed to make them stronger, to fortify them in being able to continue to deliver on their mission and impact. I mean, we understand how our nonprofit clients are extensions of and connectors in the community. So as part of our work together, that's where we really work to assess and refine what resources, behavior changes, and structures are needed to achieve mission and impact. So this could include their revenue mix. Where does the money come from? Is it reliable? Is it flexible? You know, what is happening in the market that could affect these funds in the future? How are nonprofits seeking funding that's flexible? Right. So it's not just restricted to a certain program, but how can they have that, you know, kind of budget delta addressed based on, you know, where the funding's coming from or what that gap is. And it's really, again, then digging into that revenue mix, looking and understanding that business model to help really clarify the cost of programs and activities, and then having that clear picture about how this all plays into supporting your people and how they're positioned and prepared to then deliver on your strategies that you have defined as your impact. So it really all works together in concert.
Mm. Well, I'm sure there's a number of nonprofits listening that say, gee, we would love to be able to bring Samantha and her team in to help us with maybe something you've talked about or mm-hmm. something that is a unique challenge that hasn't been discussed. But if someone's listening and wants to get more information, how can people connect with Spectrum Nonprofit Services?
Yes. Yeah, so we are on LinkedIn. We have our own website of spectrumnonprofit.com. Principal Steve Zimmerman is on LinkedIn. He's a sought after facilitator, speaker, cross, you know, actually internationally, has multiple books that he's well known for and regarded for. So you can find us online. You can email us directly and we can provide that information, I'm sure. But it really is looking at the website, looking at the clients we've worked with, reaching out, maybe asking for their experience and how they've worked with us. But I would say the website and our presence online and LinkedIn would be the best options.
Okay. Well, Samantha Maldonado from Spectrum Nonprofit Services, thank you for being here today and sharing all the ways that you provide a boatload of services, a very deep bench mm-hmm. of services for the nonprofits. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
You're welcome. You're welcome. Well, one of the successful engagement examples Samantha talked about is actually here to talk about their connection with Spectrum Nonprofit Services and to share what they have done for them. So stay tuned and we'll learn more about them after a short commercial break.
You're listening to EIG, Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's Philanthropic Community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations. And my next guests today are Dr. Chris Herjung, CEO, and Brendan Carney, Chief of Academics from the Hmong American Peace Academy, who is providing an invaluable service for refugee families in Milwaukee. And they happen to be the largest Hmong charter school in Wisconsin. Welcome to the show today, Dr. Herjung and Brandon.
Thank you for having us, Jill.
You are welcome.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Well, before we get to how you're working with Spectrum, tell us, if you would, Dr. Herjung, who the Hmong American Peace Academy is.
Thank you, Jill. The Hmong American Peace Academy is a high-performing, award-winning K-12 public charter schools located in the Milwaukee North Side, Northwest Side. I opened the school in 2004 with about 200 students. Today, we are serving nearly 2,000 students, and we are growing. Hmong American Peace Academy is Wisconsin's largest Hmong charter school, and we are built on a strong reputation for academic excellence with a 100% college acceptance rate for our graduating seniors. We are now nearing 1,000 alumni, all time from HAPA, and in the class of 2025, all 119 scholars left us with a strong plan for his or her next chapter. Our college and careers team really sets up for our scholars with financial aid, resources, and readiness so that they can face college heads on. But we are also go beyond academics. We focus on developing leaders and creating pathways for universities and meaningful careers. But more importantly, HAPA is a transformational institution. The scholars, the family, the community, and the city are all transformed by HAPA's mission and investment. The scholar is transformed from at risk to an ambitious, independent thinker and prepared to succeed in college and in life. The family is transformed through their child taking strides towards success, opting out of the a cycle of poverty and lack of opportunity. The community is transformed through shared ambitions and experiences, and the city is transformed through proof and inspiration that turnarounds are possible and education can deliver on its promise of prosperity. So Tuhapa, to transform our life is to transform our world.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, for those who might not be familiar, share with us more about the Hmong people and what does it really mean to be Hmong?
The Hmong people were U.S. allies during the Vietnam War. The CIA or the government came to ask the Hmong people to help stop communist movement and during the Vietnam War. When the Vietnam War ended, many were forced to flee our country and resettle in places like California, Minnesota, and Wisconsin, which now has one of the largest Hmong population in the country. But coming here wasn't easy at all. We had faced language barriers, culture differences, and a lack of representations in schools, which created major challenges for our parents and our students. Many of our scholars today still navigate in a kind of a dual identity, one life at home, steeped in traditions, and another outside in the home, where expectations are often different. Hapa was created to bridge that gap, to be both a rigorous academic institution and a cultural home. We believe strongly that our students need to know who they are, where they come from, so that they could be productive citizens. And we firmly believe that without our heritage, we are nothing.
And you know that experience personally, don't you?
Yes, I do. I came to the United States as an 11-year-old refugee from Thailand, couldn't speak a word of English, let alone write my name. I lived the experience many of our families are going through now. I know what it means to feel caught between cultures. That's why I founded Hapa, to provide a safe, empowering space where Hmong children could be fully themselves while also preparing to succeed in the broader world. I like to also share with the audience that one of the biggest pillar in our foundation is that the cultural strength. We need to teach our young people who they are, where they come from, so that they could be productive citizens for themselves, their families, and the community.
Thank you, Dr. Herjong, for helping us understand a little more about the Hmong community. Can you tell us more specifically how your school has worked with Spectrum Nonprofit Services?
Thank you. We got engaged with Spectrum with the need to really be strategic. We were growing and expanding, but we did not want to go into all directions. We wanted to focus. And so we decided to engage with Spectrum so that they could help us create a strategic plan from the boardroom to the classroom to really help us with our growth and expansion. And so Spectrum helped us to drive a robust strategic plan. With that, we had clear directions, clear alignment, and clear commitment from the boardroom to the classroom. So that plan has really guided us in our growth. If you could appreciate that we went from 700 to now serving 2,000 students, it was based on the Spectrum's strategic plan that has guided the organizations moving forward. And one of the main questions was, how could we serve more students in our school? It's access to quality education that was the front and center of all of this strategic planning. And so we were able to have that wonderful partnership so that we can then truly serve. As our enrollment grew, our academic performance continued to grow with us. And so in many cases, when enrollment grows, the academic performance go down. But we were very strategic with our plan with Spectrum that as we grew in our enrollment, our academic performance grow with us too. And so that has been a wonderful partner to move us along in our path of, in our journey.
Very nice. Well, Samantha was talking about the importance of, you know, identifying goals early and finding out kind of what your why is, right? It's, you know, you went from 700 to 2,000 students. That's significant growth. But you knew that your why was providing quality education. And so what I understand you saying is that Spectrum Nonprofit Services helped you identify what that goal was and helped you to get there. And it sounds like you have done that quite nicely.
Yes, it really helped the leadership team to stay focused. When you have a board of 15, we could go 15 different directions, but having a strategic plan to walk us and to guide us so that we have clear directions with clear commitment to move us forward. And that was the key main ingredients to our success.
Very nice. Very nice. Well, oftentimes an organization shares their POP or their proof of performance through metrics and or analytics, which is for sure a good thing. But sharing stories of how the people are thriving and making a difference as a result of the services your nonprofit provides is equally, if not more impactful in order for us donors, the community at large, to understand how you know that what you're doing is actually working. We're going to hear more about some outcomes that HAPA is seeing, as well as some stories of impact to further support their mission of providing an invaluable service for refugee families in Milwaukee. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back.
Thanks for tuning in. This is EIG, Milwaukee's philanthropic community, with your host, Jill Economo, on News Talk 1130 WISN.
Welcome back to Milwaukee's philanthropic community, brought to you by Ellen Becker Investment Group. I'm your host, Jill Economo, Director of Community Relations, and we're continuing our conversation with Dr. Chris Herjung and Brendan Carney from the Hmong American Peace Academy. So, Brendan, let's get you in on this conversation. Tell us what kinds of outcomes your scholars are seeing.
Yeah, I'm happy to, Jill. In fact, I love talking about it. HAPA's academic results have been consistently excellent for over 20 years, and I'm happy to say we get better every year. Our student population is about 85% scholars from low-income homes. More than 20% of them are English language learners. The vast majority of them will be the first in their families to attend college. But despite the obstacles they face, we regularly outperform state averages on the Forward and the ACT in math and ELA, despite having more than twice the state's poverty rate and many times the rate of English language learners. Wow. As Dr. Herjung mentioned, taking last year's graduating class of 25 as an example, 100% of our scholars graduated high school, 100% of them were accepted to college. The average scholar graduating was accepted to more than five colleges.
Wow.
And the group as a whole of 119 kids brought in $22.5 million in scholarships and grants. We're also expanding a dual enrollment partnership program with UWM and Mount Mary, where our scholars over the past 2 years alone have earned about 3,000 college credits while in high school. So many of our scholars who graduated last year are just about done with a full year of college before they even start, which the research says is predictive of very positive four-year graduation rates and long-term outcomes for post-secondary life and beyond.
Wow, very impressive.
And our graduates thus far have been about three times more likely to complete college in 4 years than the national averages for scholars for low-income homes. So the kids are doing really well, and we're very proud of them.
Well, yes, you should be. That's great, great information, great stats. Great metrics, all that good stuff. But as we talked about, stories of impact are really good too. Do you have an example that really illustrates the kind of impact that HAPA is making in a scholar's life?
Yes, we have so many examples. I really don't know who to choose, but I'll just pick a few favorites. One of our graduates from the class of 22, her name was Susan Tao. She came to HAPA as a refugee in kindergarten, spent her entire academic career, K through 12, at HAPA, learned to speak and communicate in English at HAPA, and then ended up being our valedictorian. And Susan grew up near the Timmerman Airfield in northwest Milwaukee, never left the country since being in the refugee camps. But she was accepted to New York University. She spent her first year studying in Italy. She's traveled to about 15 different countries in Europe, and now she's at NYU. In a year, we'll have a degree from that institution. So, you know, that's a personal favorite for me because it's one of those scholars who came here without ever imagining, whose family couldn't possibly have imagined what opportunities would be available to her if not for her time at HAPA, and she's made good on them. And I like to say she also comes back and helps us out with our own college and career work and inspiring future generations of scholars to follow in her footsteps. Some of my other favorites are the many staff members who are graduates of HAPA at this point as well. We have teachers and staff members in many roles, including leadership roles, who actually graduated from our school and decided it was important to them to come back and make an impact and make sure that their little brothers and sisters and nieces and nephews or other members of the community have the same opportunities that they've had.
It's kind of coming full circle, isn't it?
It is.
How wonderful. Well, how do you raise funds then to support the great work that you do?
So, many public charter schools, we face a huge funding gap. And so in order to do that, we establish a foundation to help us raise funds for our programming needs as well as facilities and growth. And so we are very proud to have the support from the foundations, such as the Bader Foundations, the Bradley Foundations, and Northwestern Mutual Foundations have been a wonderful supporter of HAPA. And so through those partnerships, we were able to move forward with our gap. And so we hope and pray to continue with this relationship. Also, a huge credit to the McKinsey Scott for gifting us a great gift for us to continue to provide quality education for our community. But the need is ongoing. And so it is important for us to continue to work with the community because we cannot spell success without the community in helping us to really educate our future leaders. And so what we can do together is, and the city is to truly help support our young people, invest in their education. And through their investment, we are investing in the future of our community so that we would bring quality of life to everyone. We are currently exploring a capital campaign to expand our campus with a new wing for our youngest learners. We are working to really unify our campus into one, and that unification should take place within a year or two. But as we are growing in our enrollment, our academic achievement is also growing. And so we're very fortunate in that aspect. But the bottom line is funding equals access to quality education. And so we are calling on the community to come and build peace with us so that we can educate our future leaders and have a better quality of life for everyone.
Very inspiring, Dr. Herzog. Very nice. What's your ultimate vision for the future of HAPA then? Like, what's your dream?
My dream is to have an institution that allow our young people. The phrase is, if you could dream it, you could achieve it. And so an institution that allow our young people to be creative, to strive toward college and success in life. And so we want to make sure that our young people are productive for themselves, their families, and their community. And that is that we strongly believe that education is the key to moving out of poverty.
Mm-hmm. Well, you talked a little bit about that that gift from Mackenzie Scott. I'm curious, what would you do with another $3 million?
We would definitely invest in quality education, teacher training, resources such as books, and investment in our teachers so that they will have the certification and the environment to teach. But more importantly, our children will have the best environment to learn from, because without the investment, we are not providing a first-rated education for our young people.
Yes. Well, we do love that word invest for obvious reasons. And we do love the idea of ROI. You know, it sounds like there's a great ROI when people are investing with you. And that being, again, as you said, great, great education. If someone's listening today and they want to get involved with HAPA or they want to support your mission, what is the best way for them to do that?
Best way is to go to our website. It's called My HAPA website. And so they could donate through that, through the website, or contact us and so that we can then move forward with the engagement. But again, I just want to reiterate that we cannot spell success without the investment from the community, the partnership.
Okay. And is it myhapa.com or .org?
.org.
Okay. So myhapa.org.
That's correct.
Okay. If people visit your website, is there a donate button there?
Yes, there is. There is a donation button.
Okay. All right. Well, I say all the time that there's never enough time to get to everything that we would like to talk about, but we are just planting that seed so that the organizations we speak to have an opportunity to get the information out there about all the wonderful things that they're doing in our community. So thank you, Dr. Chris Herjung and Brendan Carney from the Hmong American Peace Academy, and Samantha Maldonado from Spectrum Nonprofit Services. Thank you for sharing all the ways that you all are making a difference in our community and beyond. So thank you for participating in our interview today.
Thank you, Jill. Thanks to EIG for having us.
You are absolutely welcome. If you would like further information about what we talked about today, you can reach out directly to the Hmong American Peace Academy or Spectrum Nonprofit Services directly. If you know of a great organization doing great work in our community, like our guest today, that you think would be a great guest for the show, you can email me at jill@ellenbecker.com. If you're interested in learning about some great organizations who are doing great work in our community, I encourage you to tune in Sunday mornings at 10 to Milwaukee's philanthropic community to hear about the various ways that people and organizations are contributing to making our community a great place in a number of different ways. You can tune into News Talk 1130 on your radio, your computer, or your cell phone. You can also visit our website at ellenbecker.com to listen to previously aired shows, or you can listen on demand on your favorite streaming platform. If you decide, after being inspired by some great organizations and people on our show, that you want to give back and make a difference in some way, then reach out to the organization that interests you and ask them what they need. Our guests often share different ways that you can make a significant impact, whether that's by volunteering, advocating, or donating. So share your time, share your talent and or your treasure, and you will be a blessing and you will give a blessing to someone in your own unique way. Thanks for listening today and have a great day.